AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Hello and welcome to the number one podcast in the world.
Go on. I mean, how are we justifying that?
What I'm saying is, apparently that's true. I had a check just before I came
in. Oh, really? Okay.
And according to my exclusive research,
based
on people that I spoke to this morning.
Sounds scientific.
Apparently this is the number one podcast, the most enjoyed podcast, and the funniest podcast.
Yes. Mm. I think our listeners will agree, so that's fine. Let's just say it.
Let's just say that. So that's a big sell at the start of the show.
Yeah, big sell.
It's a big sell.
Yeah. I think it's, by and large, true. Anyway, Sister Susie's in the pub, by the sound of it.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew is off to my left.
Yes, I am. Why have we got all question time?
Sister
off to
Holly.
My left.
Sister Holly is off to my right.
Indeed I am.
And I am very much here in the centre. Yes.
Robin
Later,
Day.
Yes, okay, we're going to head over to the parish notice board. Will it be shining with praise once again, or are we in for a few stern rebukes after last week's Cluedo confession? Well, as Matt's in charge of that bit, it will probably all be perfectly fine. And everyone will say, I agree with Matt.
Yes. Yeah, that's how it gets read out.
More from the Mark Knopfler section. And of course, you'll hear all the latest misdeeds from the Drive Time Show on Greatest Hits Radio, which include Drusilla's truly terrible prank on her younger sister, which we called Sisters of No Mercy. I thought that was...
That's very, very good.
Joe's sickly scouting tale, Be Prepared. Lady Jane's confession, Like a Glittering Prize. But first, we're back in exam conditions with everyone's favourite invigilator, Trunchbull, for Andy's confession, all together now.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Andy in Middleton, Wisconsin.
Oh.
So I think that's his name, that's where he is.
Oh, right, so we're not changing his name?
Nope.
Oh, right, okay.
I think it's fine. He's abroad.
Okay.
He's abroad, it's fine.
I'm sure it's fine.
It's a different legal system.
Oh, look, the lawyers are running. Mm. All right.
Anyway, Andy says, Dear Godhead of gladdening grace, recent disclosures by a former nurse have stirred the embers of memory, and one particularly exploitative experience brings me to the altar rail seeking your forgiveness. The year was 2000. Thanks to the ramshackle requirements of a liberal arts curriculum, that's what they do in America, I somehow needed to pass a course in biology to complete my university degree in economics.
What?
For my laboratory sessions, I was partnered with two sour-faced snots. We're going to call them former jock and former cheerleader. They were from rich, snooty stock, and they were determined to remind everyone of that, even while botching a frog dissection experiment. Truly, their gormlessness for the subject was every bit the equal of my loathing of it. We muddled through, and the final exam rolled around. The instructor was a kindly old woman called Mrs. Trunchbull, who turns up again.
Again, wow.
And as she passed out the test packet to the 144 students, yes,
wowza.
144, a sum that features later in this tale, she gave a curious instruction. This is it. If preferred, students are allowed to work on the exam with classmates.
Wow.
She promptly exited, like our previous Miss Trunchbull, the nurse instructor.
Oh, she's never learned, has she? Yeah.
And students started whispering, slowly wising up to this design flaw in the process. Being an economics student, I was a fish out of water. I was in this course solely out of requirement. I hate biology. The only two people in the hall I recognised were former jock and former cheerleader, seated together across the way. I made eye contact with former jock, and attempted a gesture that meant, "Should we get together?" But probably translated as, "He has an otter in his shirt." whatever that looks like.
Yeah, I know exactly what it means. Yeah.
He stared at me for a moment, then another, and then looked away. I watched as he hooked former cheerleader's arm and led her up the stairs to a table in the hallway where they would complete the exam together, without me, their cherished but not like us, lab mate. Now, Father Simon, nothing gets the blood pumping like a good shunning. Fueled by a rage that would presage Matt's class warfare mojo,
oh, yes.
I was moving. I barged into the conversation next to me. "Let's do this exam together," I said. I turned and grabbed another trio behind me. "She said we can do it with classmates." So I had 8, then 10, then 15 students enlisted to take the exam with me. But I wasn't done. I moved so quickly that progress on the test itself was interfering with my recruiting activity. So I did what anyone would do. I deputized an erudite young woman to lead the group discussion and another to write the answers on the chalkboard. I moved from cluster to cluster, repeating the words, "Do it with classmates, do it with classmates," as though it was scripture. I looked up. The former jock had managed to pull 2 others into his quartet. Getting a third of the room on side wasn't enough for me. Moving, talking, recruiting, cajoling, pleading, persuading, inviting, enticing. In other words, I looked up in the thesaurus. By the time I was done, I counted and then I sat down. I had brought the tidy sum of 139 students into the fold.
Oh, my goodness.
It was us 140 against their 4. What's more, in the time it took me to bring everyone along, our horde had finished the test. I sat back, jotted down the answers the group had settled on, and turned in my exam. My final grade suggested that, like Tottenham in a year ending in 1, groupthink carried the day.
Is that what?
That's actually what...
Groupthink carried the day.
I have made Bill no Nicholson. Alterations yeah. to this. This is what right. Andy in That's Middleton, okay. Wisconsin, he's right on the Tottenham vibe. I don't seek forgiveness from former jock and former cheerleader. The 2 of them could pound sand for a living for all I care. But while this was clearly legal, it was, I think, contrary to the spirit of Mrs. Trunchbull's instructions. And for that, I seek forgiveness. Biologically, Andy, Middleton, Wisconsin, with an economics degree that became oh so useful in my career in mass media advertising. Oh, okay. Well, you know, you never know where it's going to end up. I did history and politics, and I'm playing rock and roll. So, and Matt's doing Spanish, and he's doing sports.
Yeah,
so there you
who
go.
Knows?
Let's check in then and see how Andy fares with Sister Sue's, first of all.
Oh, I don't really know what to say to Andy here, because I feel like that I can't imagine that teacher, again, leaving the room when there are 144 students
trying to do an exam. And she said you can work with classmates, okay? So I have done.
You work with a whole class. I also don't understand why you have to do biology when you're studying economics, and I'd probably be a bit annoyed with that. So maybe it's because I don't really understand, but it's Monday and I'm going to forgive.
Brother Matthew.
Yes, I'm a little bit flummoxed as to why you've got to take a biology...
It's a liberal arts thing,
is it? Well, it makes no sense to me. Also, what makes no sense is deciding to set exams if you're then going to tell everyone that it's perfectly fine to just all share the answers together. So he didn't break the rules at all. He did exactly what she said. You can consult with other people. So he did. And he got 140 of them together. And looks like things weren't so hot for the jock and the former cheerleader. Looks like things aren't going your way, finally. Peaked in high school, I think so. So unless they passed as well. Good point, there, Suze. But I'm going to decide they didn't. And in the words of Michael Jackson, going to get me starting with something on here.
struggling a little bit there.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So what happens there is because we've taken it off...
Gonna get me started with something.
Makes no sense. But on the show, Michael Jackson was starting, and because basically we had to get the Michael Jackson record on. So to let Matt know that fact, I started playing the record underneath him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so Matt was trying to incorporate that into his verdict.
Gonna get me started. I think I should have been in the studio with Michael at that point. Say, have you tried? I like it. Maybe try. Got to get me started with something. Should we just give it a go with that? Give it right. one more go, yeah?
Also, what I'm not sure about is, what is liberal arts? So I know what an arts degree is.
Mm.
What is liberal about it?
I think this is going to be one of the things we throw out to the the world. And
particularly, it's very much an American thing.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had someone here who was doing work experience a few months ago, not in this particular station, thankfully, and he was being shown around, and he said he was studying liberal arts, and he wore a leopard print shirt.
Oh, I do remember
him. And so
it
wasn't good vibes.
Like, we don't want any of that kind of thing around here. Anyway, but if you studied liberal arts, then let us know what's liberal. What is liberal about it? I don't understand why it's liberal.
No, I'm very interested as well.
Unless you're studying the arts and everyone is very liberal and you can basically behave how you wish.
Yes, I think it's probably it's a description of the arts, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes, it's the arts being liberal.
What about that the conservative arts? Do you not want to study those as well? None of those.
The moderate arts. Progressive arts.
Yes. Mm. Anyway, if you want to help us out in our ignorance, Simon at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to the parish notice board now. Matt has been examining that closely.
Yes, I have. And here cometh the five-star reviews. Colin McAndrew says, more great accents from Reverend Simon.
Thank you. Five stars.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I listen to the podcast on my weekly train commute to the office. Thankfully, I commute off-peak, or else my laugh-out-loud moments would be even more embarrassing. Standout moments recently are Simon's Ukrainian accent alternative bingo calling. Keep it up. But if you could make the podcast last the full 45-minute train journey, I'd be ever so grateful. We will try. Fatboy Jim 79, five stars. More five stars than an 80s pop group. The highlight of my week is my drive home on a Friday afternoon, not reliving my youth listening to Five Star, but rather reliving the hilarious tales from the week on a five-star podcast. Matt is hilarious as ever. Should say that's in bold. Mm. Matt is hilarious as ever. Simon, perhaps you could have a chat with Holly and Susie to please to be a little bit more lenient when I send in my own sin for judgment in the not-too-distant future. Keep up the great work. P.S. Matt and Simon, my username, FatboyJim79, is not a bot, but rather an unfortunate nickname from my teenage years, which is now not so ironic as
it
was. Yeah,
but that's what a bot would say. So, frankly,
Definitely.
I think it, also, what are you doing listening to this on a Friday afternoon when we're on the air?
Yes. Don't forget, people, 4 till 7.
4 till 7. So listen to it after, no disrespect to Martin, Kem.
It could be before 4.
Yeah, it could be, because it goes live at 12, you see, at midday.
All right.
Then, obviously, 4 o'clock. So we've got some time.
Yes.
You could do both.
Good, good. Five stars, says Bart 7871. Matt is always right. Fact.
Oh,
like this
word.
Already, Bart. Terrible. With that title, am I a shoo-in for getting this read out?
Yes,
yes you are, Bart.
Yeah.
Having rediscovered the latest iteration of Confessions from Father Simon and the Contemporary Collective, I am incredibly grateful to you all for my weekly dose of laughs. Incredulity, Holly, accents and sewer rat morals. As a chap of a certain age, I have fond memories of rereading a paperback Confessions book, which contained the infamous radio-controlled aircraft confession.
That's the hamster one.
That's the hamster, yes. I won't add the unacceptable but hilarious detail that probably hasn't aged well. Well, it's a hamster in the aircraft.
Hamster.
I just added
that
one.
You just did that anyway. I'm currently listening on Monday evenings on the commute home, another one. But I'm looking forward to switching to my summertime routine of listening while mowing the lawn and confusing my neighbours with my outbursts of laughter. Keep it up and stand by for a military confession. Never getting on.
Oh,
that
no.
may just make it through the censorship process.
I
no, it won't.
It.
Although a spot on the mark, not for the section, is fast becoming a badge of honour.
Yeah,
indeed,
it is.
Five stars all round. Well done.
Okay, very good. Well read, of course.
I thought so.
But Bart 7871, why 7871?
It's going to be a birthday, isn't it? Born in August 1971. 7th of August 1971. I mean, obviously, don't. If that is the case, Bart will obviously now be able to guess your banking details, but apart from that, 7871 would be my
maybe
guess.
That could be the sort code or the start. There's just two digits. It's probably 06 or something.
It could be some random.
So if you want to pay
picked.
Money into
do it
account,
into the
that's
account.
That's almost certainly going to be
it. Definitely going to be it.
Okay,
yeah,
very good. Yeah. Susie, what notice do you have from the notice board?
Well, I've picked an email from Shroomy, who says, hello, Father Simon.
Well, that's a half a name, I suppose.
Shroomy. Yeah. Hello, Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie, and Holy Holly. I think I am most likely one of your youngest listeners, as I'm only 14.
So, I mean, that's probably right.
I think so. Me and my family have been listening to your show since you were at the old place when we all used to listen to the confessions at dinner time. Since then, as our various schedules have changed, we haven't been able to listen to your show at GHR. And so the confessions were sadly abandoned for us.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult to find.
Literally two clicks on the dial.
Yeah. So,
however,
carry on, Trumi.
That all changed fairly recently when my dad announced with great joy that he had found your new podcast. Not so new, really, but anyway.
Been around a long time, not difficult to find. Yeah. Carry on.
We were all excited to have our Confessions at Dinner Time combo back, and even more excited about how much catching up we have to do. Since we're all still a bit behind, I'm sending this in March right now, and we're just getting through January. If this gets read out, I won't know for quite a while, and it will be a surprise for all of us. We really enjoy the Marked Not For Broadcast, or Mark Knopfler broadcast, who I did have to look up after the original joke section, which in me, my sister and my mum laugh at people's insane stories, and my dad shakes his head in disgust and or disbelief.
That's what dads do, really.
Yep.
Yep. Holly will be thrilled to know that I'm not after a mug, as she has said in the past that it is strictly one per email.
Yes.
And in a family of four, it would be fought over when it came time for tea. So I think it's best I don't ask. Goodbye. And thanks for all the laughs at dinner time from Shroomy. And in brackets, it says, not quite my real name. So
thanks, Shroomy. I think we should send Shroomy a mug anyway, just for the hell of it.
Yes. Excellent idea.
Then they could all fight about it. Yeah. Or they could learn. They could just learn to share.
Yes.
They could learn to share.
And what does Shroomy mean? Is she a mushroom? He a mushroom? I'm confused.
Yeah. Is it not a young thing then? Not, no, obviously not.
I don't know.
Yes. Shroomy.
And I'm very down with the kids,
you are
Matt.
So young. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's probably a nickname based on some horrible mushroom thing. Makes me very strange. Anyway, thanks, Shroomy, for getting in touch. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. If you're younger than Shroomy, get in touch. We'll mention you. Plus liberal arts, we need to discuss that as well. A couple of mentions to Philip Boyd, Eddie, Mr. Paney, Claire Bear, Max, Leo and Coco, Tony and Mr. Sean 99, who are amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, fancy some Cluedo, which I think will go down in history.
Yeah.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast. Now it's time for the part of the show where you need a strong constitution and also, can a moral compass be questionable? I suppose it probably can. That one would help as well. So it's the Mark Knopfler section, starting with Henry. Henry, there may have been someone in your office helping themselves to your lunch. I know where this is going to go, but
no.
That does not make it okay to try to catch them out by setting a trap of a fake lunch made from very out-of-date food.
Oh, right, okay.
I mean, you're right, it wasn't
no laxative. No.
But it wasn't far off. I mean, it's the same kind of principle.
I think the end result is still the same, isn't it?
Bit of Huey Lewis in the news. Yes, I think it probably is.
Bit harsh on great 80s tracks there, I think.
I know, but it's just like Huey.
Oh, I see. Oh, right, okay. I thought you meant Huey Lewis in the news were...
A load of. No.
Vomit.
No, no, was,
but they're
no
not.
It was Huey.
They're
it was a reference
not
to the, right, the sound of a Huey.
Huey Lewis in the news.
Yes, as in the sound of vomit. Did you get that? Yeah.
No, I'm lost.
No. Okay. Huey, no, we get it now. So well, Huey Lewis Holly in the doesn't news, synonymous with...
Huey is the kind of noise that you make when you vom.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Does everyone make the same noise?
I always do, because I'm so immersed in rock culture. When I'm sick, I have to be sick and mention the name of an artist that we play on Greatest Hits.
With every bodily function, there's all
right,
an artist associated
yes
with that.
Excellent.
I know.
That's what you want.
So Huey Lewis just performs a useful function. If there are any other artists... Yeah.
Oh dear! Right, that's very good.
Anyway, so while we're in the Mark Knopfler section, Penny has been in touch. Penny, you might have had a horrible boss who you really didn't like, but that is no excuse for spiking the punch at the work's Christmas party with someone else's urine.
Oh,
no.
What?
And then
how did they get that?
Yes, well, exactly. I was about to ask.
And then telling everyone but your boss to avoid it. So. What's wrong with your own penny, first of all?
Spend the penny.
Exactly.
Penny.
Yeah. But what did you do? Did you say,
how did you
could you just fill this cup for me? Because...
Yeah. Everyone's going to find this hilarious. Could you just do this for me?
No. We've got maybe our... they were like, there was two of them that were working together.
And she suggested it too...
Even so.
There's a very logistical problem there.
Maybe one like provided the goods and one did the sneaky...
Anyway,
I don't want to hold a cup of someone else's urine.
How badly do you dislike your boss? I mean, I'm not.
Not only is it urine, it's not even my urine.
No, mine.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway, yeah. It's quite enough of that. We're going to leave that sordid scene behind us and return to this week's confessions with Drusilla's tale, Sisters of No Mercy.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone, just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession, which I'm going to give it, I think we'll give it a PG certificate.
Okay.
Do not try any of the events that are going to happen in the next few moments.
Oh, dear.
A confession which comes from Drusilla. Dear Simon and the Confessional Collective, after listening to the sister's confession recently, it spurred me on to write mine. As ever, whether your good listeners feel moved to forgive will depend on where they sit in their families and whether they have siblings older than they are. I, says Drusilla, am one of 14 children.
Wow.
14?
7 boys and 7 girls. This, I believe, is very unusual. I can only think that we were all such wonderful children that our parents just wanted more of the same. Mm. A bit like eating a box of Maltesers. Who stops after one or two? No one, that's who. So if your parents stopped at one or two, what does that say about you? Which is a reasonable question, actually.
Right?
I never thought of it like that.
As you can imagine, there were many pranks, one being my younger sister asking me to see how far I could kick a ball, which I did, not knowing that she'd filled it with rocks.
Good.
Ouch.
This is not something you should do, and it was very painful at the time, but latterly I forgave her for her cruelty. You see, I'm setting an example, tough but fair. I've read recently of some football manager, I forget who, complaining about his players having to kick the wrong kind of ball.
Right.
Well, they should try a ball full of rocks, fancy manager guy. See what your millionaire players make of that.
That's a bit of a sidebar. Anyway.
Anyway. The worst thing that we did following this incident was to one of our younger sisters... Pippa. Shall we call her Pippa? Let's call her Pippa.
Yeah.
Pippa loves sweets. To be honest, she was a little greedy at times. Sherbet pips, chocolate limes, mint humbugs, all her favourites. Also, aniseed balls, licorice sticks and jelly babies and chocolate, every kind of chocolate, sometimes all at once. We were in our bedroom when she came in and we said we had a mint for her. She proceeded to put it in her mouth and went to chew on it. After a while, we then told her it was a mothball.
Oh.
So she spat it out quickly.
Yeah.
A look of disgust on her face. My sister then said to her that because it was poison...
yeah?
She would be dead by 6 o'clock.
Oh,
what?
6 o'clock. Right. Oh, 10 minutes. Yeah.
She believed us and... She believed us and was quite disappointed to discover this fact as we had a Sunday school outing to Bournemouth on Saturday.
Right.
I'm not sure why we said 6 p.m. exactly as the time when she wasn't going to make it, but anyway, it sounded very definite. And we kept the story up for hours until my dad asked us why our sister was crying and upset. Pippa then explained that as she'd eaten a mothball, thinking it was a mint because her siblings had told her it was, she was apparently going to die at 6 p.m. Looking back, it does seem such an evil thing to do, but we were young and we didn't know any better. And she was an annoying little sister
that is
as well.
True.
As you can imagine, my dad was not happy with us. And mothballs are indeed toxic to humans, containing naphthalene or paradichlorobenzene.
Wow.
So we were very bad children indeed. I hope you can forgive my sister and I for such unkindness towards our younger sister. Well, I guess I can't really imagine what it must be like to live in such a vast family and to have so many siblings to try and get on with. But this does seem... spectacularly cruel by the sisters, and maybe a recurring theme, because that's basically what happened with our last sister's confession, with someone playing dead and the other sister having to run for the ambulance. So what do you say, Suze? I'm not sure about this.
Yeah, I agree with her on the Malteser fact. I think you can't, no one just has one Malteser. You do grab a handful and you keep going.
Does the Malteser box and family planning, do they have much in common? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I can't imagine having 13 siblings, though. That is crazy. But
Christmas very expensive.
Yes, I am a younger sister, and I do feel like that was very cruel. And you know, even if she loved sweets and she was very annoying, she was still your sister. You could have been mean without telling her she was going to die. And for that fact, I'm afraid I can't forgive.
It's the kind of thing that if that had been like an office encounter, I don't think we'd have read it out because it would have been too cruel and it was like bullying. But when it's all sisters and all family together, you're going to think, yeah, this kind of thing happens.
I think what saved it, though, is saying you're going to be dead by 6 o'clock. I like that. I like that a lot. So, 14 kids. May I suggest that mum and dad find something else to do overnight?
Like eat Maltesers.
Game of Cluedo, something like that?
No.
No Cluedo.
I'm going to forgive because, obviously, the younger sibling, very irritating. You've got to find some way of getting back at them, being all cute and hogging the attention. So, for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
What have you got about younger siblings, Matt?
I think it is always, you know, where you are in the pecking order, isn't it? If you're the eldest, you've got to be responsible. You've got to look after your younger ones, but then they get all the attention for being cuter.
Because they are cuter.
Yeah, because they are normally cooler.
And
cooler is subjective.
Way more talented.
Talented?
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, so it's where you are in the pecking order. And I was the eldest.
Okay, right. Well, as though we couldn't possibly
guess.
I'm in the middle, so I think we get the best. If you're in the middle, you get the best of everything.
You do, really. Yeah. Mm. No responsibility and not as cute.
Well. Anyway, people's verdict. Let's see what's going on here.
And Michelle says, not forgiven. As the younger sister, I was told that if the helium balloon our parents bought me in Rome burst overnight, I would die. Never slept for days. Best bit was we shared a room.
There's clearly an awful lot of this sibling rivalry stuff, which revolves around usually the elder saying to the younger, you better do that or you will die.
Or it's death. Sorry.
All of which is particularly unpleasant, and we don't condone any of that. Still to come on the Confessions podcast, you'll want to make sure you're not eating for Joe's scouting confession. Be prepared. But first, it's Lady Jane's confession, like a glittering prize.
Shh, shh, shh. We won't tell anyone.
What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Today's confession comes from Lady Jane. Thank you, Lady Jane. Father Simon of the Confessional Committee, my confession dates back to my secondary school days, which I admit isn't that long ago, because much like Sister Holly, I'm a young'un. But I'm reminded of my actions when I saw a certain politician on television.
Oh, right.
Oh, dear.
I went to an all-girls school in Northern Ireland, and one of the worst days was Prize Day. This was a ceremony full of long, boring speeches, walking across stages in the occasional hymn. This delight was reserved for two groups: the unfortunate souls who were good in exams and those in the choir. And I, says Lady Jane, belonged to both. Everyone else got half a day off and they got to go home at lunchtime, but we were required to stay and sit through the entire thing. If you had to sit through Prize Day, you wanted to be in the choir. The choir sat at the back of the hall, the complete opposite side to where all the teachers were, so oversight was limited. And we had choir robes. These were not the most fashion-forwards, as they were essentially bottle green bed sheets, but they did have unusual sleeves that could function more like long pockets.
Ooh.
Of course, we took full advantage and smuggled in various contraband to keep us entertained, mostly phones, sweets and tobacco. But I did manage to get an Agatha Christie book in 1 year.
Good work.
Yeah. So educational.
Yeah.
Mm.
Before Prize Day started, the choir would meet and assign roles. There was always a designated bookie who collected bets on how long the principal's report would take, generally over 30 minutes, whose parents would fall asleep, and which teacher would look the most bored. 3-1, Professor Sigismund. 6-4, Dr. Grimes. You get the idea. Then the bookie would have to dole out the winnings, and the winners would get the hoard of sweets that were stored in the robe sleeves. Also needed the timekeeper to time the speech and lookouts to keep watch for rogue teachers or classroom assistants who were monitoring for illicit activity. and it was my role as a lookout that spurred this confession. One particular prize day, we would have a special guest speaker, a politician from a particular party. Okay. Because this is Northern Ireland, that tends to come with an extra layer of tension. And prior to prize day, we were all warned with waving fingers and raised voices not to do anything disrespectful and politically inflammatory. Nothing like that when right. The politician was there. We were to act like the well-behaved and well-educated ladies that we actually are. Well, Father Simon, we weren't going to let some politician ruin years of tradition and suck the remaining joy that you can get from prize day. So roles were assigned, and I was one of the lookouts because I was going to be at the end of a row. As people started to file into the sports hall, we began placing further bets. Principals taught longer than 30 minutes, 4-1. More than an hour slipped to 6-1. Lame jokes throughout, 2-1. Cringe-inducing references to the politician evens. Matt can explain how that all works. Yes. But not now.
Not now.
I took a good look at my surroundings and saw something that made my blood run cold. There were TV cameras being set up on an overlooking balcony. Since it was a famous politician doing the guest speech, the media had come to film him. Although the camera faced away from the choir, pointing towards the stage, it was manned and it could turn. I let the other lookouts know just before the ceremony started, but we were quickly rushed up the aisle to sing the opening hymn. Well, Father Simon, I can safely say it was the most exhilarating prize day I have ever been involved with. And any hint of the camera so much as twitching towards our direction had myself and the other lookout sending a Chinese whisper of elbow nudging down the lines to put away any contraband and put on our most innocent faces. As far as we know, we got away with it. There were no stern words or punishments doled out, and I never saw the recording they took of the speech, but I'm pretty sure my grandparents did. They didn't say anything out loud. So our choir tradition remained intact. Bets were made, winnings were doled out. Centrinians, eat your heart out. So, I seek forgiveness. Not from the politician, nor the teachers, because it didn't really matter what party they belonged to. We were going to keep our tradition come hell or high water. I do seek forgiveness from my fellow choristers, who were frequently and unceremoniously elbowed in the side in my panic to pass on messages as I was a lookout and preserve the one thing that made the prize day bearable, and I fall upon the grace of the collective. Yours sincerely, Lady Jane. I like the idea of exciting a betting scam keep
that.
Interest going during prize day, but I'm sure that Sister Susie will set. I just sense disapproval coming down the lines from the pub.
It does sound very, very fun and very exciting and very interesting, but that wasn't what you were there for, was it, Lady Jane? You were there to pay attention to the prize giving out and the speeches and all of that. And however boring it might be not, it's a rule of passage of school that you have to go through all of that stuff. But also, one of the contraband, I don't agree with whatsoever. So for that reason, I'm not going to forgive you.
Okay, Brother Matthew.
Well, I mean, I'm going to forgive. Number one, those politician speeches go on forever, as do all those speeches at all the awards days and all that nonsense. Also, I've run bets on best man speeches, and and in fact, my wife has now stopped me from doing that because at one of them I won, which was frowned upon from the top table somewhat. So for all those reasons, definitely forgiven.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
So today's confession comes from Joe. And it's called Be Prepared, and you should be, particularly if you're eating or feeling in any way sensitive.
Good start. No.
It's one of those. Mm-hmm. Father Simon, Sister Susie, Holy Holly, and Brother Matt, I have to confess to an unfortunate event that happened over 60 years ago.
Wow.
Okay, so this is a long, long time ago. An event that I/we are utterly ashamed of. And over the years, whenever we look back, brings tears to our eyes and a little bit of merriment. At 14 years old, we were off on an adventure to a scout camp located in the grounds of an old stately home in Gloucestershire. A four-hour drive ferried by our scout leaders in their personal vehicles for a weekend of fun. We were travelling with Skip, recently returned from National Service in Germany, where he had acquired his own personal transport, and a great time was had by all. Sunday was the day we had to return home, and as is custom, any food that was left over had to be eaten and not thrown away. Rationing was still ingrained in people's memories from World War II. And rational thinking therefore dictated that we would have a great breakfast if we combined everything into one pot, even the ingredients that we didn't recognise.
Oh. No.
And we cooked it all over the fire and shared it all out between us, in our mess tins. And so it was that everyone had a hearty breakfast before we said our goodbyes to our new friends. We packed up our tents and departed home in Skip's vehicle. I mean, where is this tale yes. heading? Mm. We had a member of our troop who unfortunately seemed to be rather accident prone. For that reason, he had acquired the nickname of Jonah. And it was Jonah's misfortune that after we'd travelled for several miles on this long journey, just like the whale, Jonah's stomach disagreed with what he had eaten for breakfast and was determined to reject the contents. Again, just like the Bible, so you can't really be that upset by this.
No, that's true.
Jonah had gone green around the gills and requested Skip to stop the vehicle in order to comply with his stomach's demands. Unfortunately, Skip, being a man who was a stickler for the rules, declared that he was not allowed to stop as he was driving along a clear way which prohibits any stopping of vehicles. This is very true. I mean, you have to abide by the rules. Jonah's stomach was having none of this, so quick as a flash, time had passed, by the way, our patrol leader, John, grabbed Jonah's beret from his head and placed it under Jonah's chin, covering up his mouth and thereby saving us all from a fate worse than death. It was great thinking, so worthy of his leadership and the famous scout motto, be prepared. However, the fermentation process within Jonah's stomach...
Oh, boy. No.
As to be said, the dubious breakfast ingredients... and that were now contained within his beret created a pungent aroma that quickly made us all feel a little queasy. Something had to be done and fast. Different times. It was unanimously agreed that the green beret had to be ejected from the vehicle.
Yeah.
And as Skip was reluctant to stop, we quickly sized up the situation and in true scout fashion initiated a launch procedure worthy of any battle missile crew. Dave would act as navigator and choose the target area, open field or hedgerow. John would open the bomb door, i.e. the sliding side door, and Jonah would launch the offending projectile, the green beret, now the sickly green beret, through the door. So it was, it all went to plan, almost. The target, the hedgerow, was chosen. John opened the bomb door and Jonah launched his breakfast projectile through the open door. Unfortunately, although the trajectory of the missile was spot on, it was a clean shot through the door, even for Jonah's standards. Both our pilot and our navigator, Skip and Dave, failed to inform us of the impending changing landscape. And we, the launch technicians, had failed to make allowances in our target calculation for the forward momentum of the launch vehicle. It is with great shame, therefore, that I have to reveal that the two elderly gentlemen who were sat on a roadside bench at the edge of the village and who were previously enjoying the quiet Sunday summer sunshine were subjected to a surprise attack in the form of an aerial bombardment of unprecedented biological warfare, landed squarely on the ground between them, bursting like a volcano and spilling its evil payload far and wide. I clearly remember the look of utter astonishment and horror on both their faces and indeed ours as the two gentlemen who had clearly survived two world wars unscathed stared open-mouthed as Skip's V3 weapon launcher sped from the scene. The two old codgers watched our departure in disbelief as we sped away with the four faces of the biological weapon system crew peering out of the back window horrified at the devastation they had caused to a sleepy English village. So before I pass on from this mortal world, I'd like to confess to you, Father Simon, and public apologise to all those concerned just in case I meet them in the next. To the two elderly gentlemen, to the entire residents of the sleepy village in Gloucestershire, to the 7th St Helens Nutgrove Methodist Scout Group, whose reputation we almost certainly did tarnish, nay ruin, and to Jonah, as we all quietly and quickly beat a tactical retreat and left him alone, having to try to explain to his mother why he's ears no longer supported that green blob on top of his head that she had sacrificed her child allowance payment to buy him just a couple of weeks before. It was two sizes too big for him anyway, and so therefore it was a wise thing that we did, and obviously it was all in a good cause. I don't think Sister Susie is remotely impressed.
Well, not really, Joe, because essentially there were nice words and everything, but those two poor men on the bench basically got sick in the face, didn't they?
I wouldn't put it quite so baldly.
And,
no, it's true.
I can't imagine what that must have been like. And they didn't deserve it. Also, maybe they bought the hat two sizes too big because he'd grow into it. So that isn't a reason to be sick in it and eject it from the car. So, yeah, no, for all of those reasons, I can't forgive.
Brother Matthew.
I mean, you have to say that the beret did do its job, didn't it? I mean, it managed to catch all of that, which is good news. But I am going to forgive because really it's the scout leaders that are to blame here for deciding to have this ridiculous idea. We're going to put all the food into one big mixture.
Yes, that's right.
Regardless of that, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. And then we're going to take you all on a journey which will not stop at any point because we're on a road where apparently you can't stop. So that doesn't seem like a good idea, and I believe the Eagles put it best on one of those nights where they said, "I choose to forgive."
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Another instance where everything had been going on for so long that I had to start the Eagles underneath Matt, who tries to change gear.
But I got the lyrics right this time, thankfully.
You did.
Something did get me started.
Now that's simply red again, isn't it?
Is it?
I think they're polluting everything.
Started something.
Anyway, Joe's confession received lots of reaction on the people's verdicts, including this email and fellow confession from Elaine. About 40 years ago, I took a coachload of year 10 and 11 boys to Alton Towers for the day. They had to be removed from the school that day as prospective parents were viewing the school with a view to sending their little cherubs there. As we went through a beautiful quintessential English village, one of the nicer boys needed to eject the contents of his stomach, and the coach driver opened the door for said process to occur. This sounds very illegal.
Wow.
Just as we went past the cutest cottage you can ever imagine. Windows were splattered. I'm still mortified all these years later.
Why can't people just stop?
How did he manage to reach the windows? That's not
so
bad.
So the coach hasn't stopped. Opens the door. There's a child standing there.
Yeah.
Huey Lewis and the News.
Danger.
Danger, exactly. Yes, with no high voltage.
High volt.
No.
Just stop the coach or provide sick bags.
Yes, sick bags. That's
or
a good
go
idea.
In your beret.
Yeah.
Anyway, that wraps up another week of confessions. If you've been inspired by any of them, that would be a surprise. But anyway, send them to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is Huey Lewis and the Voms. Huey Lewis and the Voms code phrase.
If you've listened this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or post it to me on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in a shower. That's a lovely thing. Get to know your neighbours. Leave us a glowing 5-star review. We'll be back next week with another bunch of confessions. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says
goodbye.
From the cupboard of tat, Sister Holly.
Hasta la vista, baby.
That's what she says. And from the gutter, Brother Matthew performs this memorable line.
Goodbye.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Simon Mayo's confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Huey!
I see.